Yeah, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? When you hear that music, you know what time it is. It's time for the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Browner. Here on the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast, we kinda talk about sports and we sorta talk about everything else. Today on the show, I'm talking about people who are hurt, people who are pretending to be hurt, allegedly, and the government is hurt. So I guess it's an all-injured podcast. But as I always do at the beginning of the podcast, let me tell you guys how you can help the podcast out. You can always go tell a friend to tell a friend once you see this post to tell them to repost it. Make this thing grow. Like the page on the Facebook, on the Facebook at Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. You can like that thing. Spread that up. You can always email me at Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast at gmail.com. And you can always go to iTunes. Type in John Browner's podcast, and boom, there you are. I will instantly be on your smartphone, in your pocket, in your purse, on your computer, on your laptop, on your blah, 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 on your et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, is it okay to take a day off of work if you're sick? Is it okay to get a snow day if you live in the Midwest or back east? Is it okay to stay in for the day because it rained if you're in Southern California? Is it okay to not play a game that you're being handsomely paid to simply because you have a small ill? Now, a small ill is a sprained ankle. And the person who we're talking about is one Derrick Rose. Now, we all have our opinions on Derrick Rose. And again, I hold no bones about mine. I'm a Chicago fan, and I mean Chicago everything. But I have to tap out. Much like Derrick Rose, I have to tap out. I have thrown in my Derrick Rose, I will defend you pass forever. Now, he may come back, and he may be one of the greatest point guards or players or whatever we've ever seen in the NBA. All that may be great. I am out on Derrick Rose. It's been over a week now. The NBA had its opening tip-off week last week, and now we're in a fresh week because it's Monday, of course. And I don't want anyone else to tell me that it's the second game of the season. They're playing it safe with him. They're playing it safe with him is the problem that got us in this situation. And by us, I mean Bulls fans, and also in a larger sense by us, I mean sports fans in general. Derrick Rose is an absolutely entertaining person to watch play basketball. The energy and the aura when he's on the court with the ball, that's what entertainment is about. That's why we love sports. That's why certain people have that something that makes you turn on your television screen when you see them coming up on it. Something about certain players make you look at the schedule. It makes you anticipate the season coming up. People who love football know that when they see Calvin Johnson play wide receiver, there's something about Calvin Johnson that's not normal. Outside of his size, his ability to play football is abnormal. It's amazing. Same thing for Dez Bryant. Now, when you see somebody like Derrick Rose playing basketball at the level he plays basketball, he's doing it at 6'4". The amazing part about that is that Derrick Rose is the average size of a male. Like any guy walking the street, Derrick Rose is the average size. There's a lot of people the same size as Derrick Rose walking the streets, working in your office, related to you, that can't do 1% of what Derrick Rose can do. So, when we watch Derrick Rose, we're fascinated. We're amazed. I'm amazed. I'm fascinated. I'm joyed. I will not lose any of that. But I will not be defending Derrick Rose when people call him, wait for it, soft. Because it appears that he is soft. Now, Michael Jordan spoke earlier, a little bit after the season started, when LeBron James and Dirk Nowitzki were saying that the NBA should look at making the game shorter or making the season shorter. This is a personal vendetta I'm now going to take out against the NBA players. Because you have all the success that you have. You have all the money you have. You have all the notoriety you have from playing basketball. For a lot of these guys, the business of basketball is now bigger than the actual game of basketball. Derrick Rose has a $250 million shoe deal with Adidas. Derrick Rose hasn't played in 2 years. He's still cashing those checks. Derrick Rose makes more money off shoes. Well, the thought of selling a shoe, because the sales are absolutely in the toilet, than he does actually playing basketball for the Chicago Bulls. So who does Derrick Rose answer to when he sprains an ankle? Does he answer to the Bulls training staff? To the Bulls management? Or does he answer to Adidas? This is now an issue because it's the question of what came first, the chicken or the egg. What's more important to Derrick Rose? His physical health as to where he can sell more shoes, or his ability to help the basketball team in which got him the shoe contract? Now, I don't begrudge a guy for getting paid because, Lord knows, I all wish we could get paid. Okay? Someday, I will get paid to do this. But until that day comes, I have to work harder than the next person. I have to be ready when the time calls. I have to make sure that my preparation and my effort goes along with timing, and that equals success. Derrick Rose has done that. So, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Derrick Rose because financially he's successful in life. What I am doing is I am going to crush him as a sports fan who loves to watch great players play. If you don't play because you have a sprained ankle, I have no respect for you. A sprained ankle, not a severely sprained ankle, not a high ankle sprain, not a sprain that's so severe that you may think he has contusions or broken bones or torn ligaments or whatever the case may be. Just simply a sprained ankle. And now you cannot play in a game in which it's the season opener for your building, the United Center, against the number one team in the conference, being the Cleveland Cavaliers, a highly publicized, highly talked about game. You tap out because you have two sprained ankles. Well, allegedly two sprained ankles, because I watched the game. I even watched the game back. I watched it twice. I didn't see the second sprained ankle. What I did see was him come out in the third quarter and miss a couple of shots and not move as fast as he was in the second quarter. So then you tap out? Since you can't move like you want to move, now you're going to tap out? You don't want to play? Taj Gibson, in the same game, sprained his ankle identically to Derrick Rose. Taj Gibson came in, returned to the game, and finished the game, almost winning the game for the Chicago Bulls, him and Kirk Heinrich, who we all know, if you've been a Bulls fan for more than 5 years, you know Kirk Heinrich gets hurt sneezing. And so now you want me to believe that a sprained ankle and then a magically a reported second sprain of the opposite ankle sound exactly the same if you say them really fast, calls Derrick Rose to now back out and say, I don't feel right. I don't care if you don't feel right. Okay? Because if it was just about preserving yourself for the finish line, okay, the year before you played 10 games and then set the rest of the year out, when you could have played, you tore your ACL. You set out an entire year when in the playoffs, while your team was battling in triple overtime games, you sat in a suit at the end of the bench and watched them play. When they played Miami in the second round of the year you sprained your ACL, you could have played. You chose not to. And you watched your team battle all they had in a loss to the Miami Heat because you didn't feel right. I don't care at this point whether you feel right or not. You on the floor creates a dynamic where they have to see you. They have to game plan for you. Yes, your team knows you are on, quote unquote, allegedly, two sprained ankles. So get out there, be effective, and pass the ball around. Be a threat. Nobody's asking you to take over the game. If you've seen the Chicago Bulls roster this year, the team is absolutely stacked. He doesn't have to put the team on his back. But if he's not even on the court to even attempt to put the team on his shoulders, then what's the whole point of this? What are we doing as fans waiting for this guy every apparently other week for an update on how he's physically feeling. He had the nerve after the game to say, everybody can breathe now. I'm okay. I was breathing a long time ago. Derek, thanks, though. Thanks for the permission to now breathe as a fan because your ankle is okay. No, your alleged ankles are okay. Get on the goddamn court, man. Get on the court. People keep saying that the Bulls have a chance to be the best team in the East, to have a chance to win a title, to have a chance to compete for a title. As hard as this is to say, I don't believe that. I do not believe that because I believe at the end of the day, Derrick Rose will fold like a lawn chair. Okay? Derrick Rose will tear apart like a wet napkin. He has shown himself to not be physically tough enough to sustain a sprained ankle. So how in the hell am I supposed to trust Derrick Rose can perform in clutch moments? Because he already had his psychological toughness questioned when he was beaten by the Miami Heat when LeBron shut him down. And so that's the last time he did anything significant in the NBA. That was so long ago, I bet you didn't even remember that. And so now, a guy who's now has a label of soft takes two games off. The end of one, and then the Minnesota game takes the next night, takes two games off because he's got sprained ankles. Just stop. Either he's going to be available or he's not. But the next time someone calls Derrick Rose soft, or the next time somebody says the Bulls won't win because Derrick Rose can't be trusted, I have no argument. I mean, I do, but I won't argue it because he hasn't proven to anyone that he'll play through anything. I'd hate to see him get a cold. Okay? I'd hate to see Derrick Rose have a migraine. I hate to see Derrick Rose chip a fingernail because he may miss a month. This is I'm beside myself because I have given up. I quit. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't keep speaking up for a guy who A, won't speak up for himself, and B, won't show effort when everything isn't fully in balance. Derrick Rose is a great basketball player. But the best part about ability is availability.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
3 months ago, Jadeveon Clowney was going to change the face of football. Remember 3 months ago when J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney were going to be the greatest two pass rushers on one team we've ever seen? Remember when 3 months ago the Houston Texans chose to take Jadeveon Clowney as opposed to taking a quarterback when at the time their only quarterback was Ryan Fitzpatrick and we were told football lies like head coaches often do that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy and that he was going to be able to take them to the next level? Well, we now have a twofold problem. A, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he can actually play. B, the guy who got taken by Jacksonville. Looks like he should have been the number one pick. Why did I say Blaine Gabbert? Because Blaine Gabbert used to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he now plays for someone else. The point being, the Texans put themselves in a position where they had to then trade for Ryan Mallett to be the backup, another probably bust. So now Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Mallett, of course, are your starting and backup quarterback combo. They're your tandem. And as we watch J.J. Watt absolutely destroy quarterbacks and offensive linemen, where is Jadeveon Clowney, you might ask? Well, Jadeveon Clowney tore his meniscus in the first game of the season. I think it was like the third play. And he's been MIA. Until a week ago, in which a big hubbub was made about Jadeveon Clowney's return. Well, it comes out by now that Pro Football Talk released a report saying the inner workings, because here's the great thing about inner workings. We didn't know the Seahawks had a problem in their locker room until the Seahawks, quote-unquote, had a leak in which a reporter was able to report all these things that were magically wrong with their locker room with Percy Harvin and Russell Wilson. We didn't know that Johnny Manziel was frustrated that he was still the backup quarterback in Cleveland. That somehow leaked out, right? Now, it's quote-unquote leaking out of the Houston Texans organization that Jadeveon Clowney just isn't tough. Much like I talked about in the first segment, toughness is something either you have or you don't. Again, the best part about ability is availability. And so how good is the ability of Jadeveon Clowney if he doesn't even want to get on the field? Now, if you think not playing with two sprained ankles is bad, Jadeveon Clowney couldn't play because he had a quote-unquote illness last Sunday. An illness. Now, I know Ebola's in Texas. It wasn't that. I know meningitis killed a person here in San Diego. It wasn't that. An illness. Now, we all know there are several ways this could be interpreted. But how would we have got that information unless the Texans were leaking it out? Because an illness is not an injury. It's a cause. It's just something you simply get. It's like a cold. So you mean to tell me football players play with broken arms, hands, concussions? They cut fingers off. Ronnie Lott cut off his finger to play in a football game. And Jadeveon Clowney, the number one pick in last year's draft, can't even play because he has an illness. What is he ill with? And if it's not life-threatening, the average football player plays. The average football player takes two Tylenol, they give you one of the long needles somewhere in a place that you don't want to know about, and you run out the tunnel and you tackle people. Unless you're Jadeveon Clowney, who apparently, according to this report, is immature. He's 20. He's in his early 20s. Yes, he's probably a little immature. The real problem is that he's rich. Not wealthy. We've been over that before. But he's rich. And when you give an immature person a lot of money, don't expect them to do smart things. Jadeveon Clowney has enough money now that football may not be as attractive as it once was. There were times at South Carolina where Jadeveon Clowney's passion was questioned. Not his talent, not his ability, his heart. So when GMs start questioning your heart during the draft process, they can be looked at as a lot of different ways. Smoke screens, so people think that they're not going to take him, they can trade up, blah, 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 blah. But when you hear it at South Carolina before his draft status was ever even a question, when you hear it from opponents that he gave up on plays, when you watch the film in college, because he obviously hadn't had enough film on pro, to see that he gave up on plays, yeah, everybody gives up on plays. Yes, he was probably double-teamed, but he's better than three guys trying to block him. And so if you're in South Carolina, you know about Jadeveon Clowney and what he was capable of, but you saw the result in which you got. Now, if you're a Texan fan and you're watching J.J. Watt absolutely play Superman on Sundays, your question is, something's not right about this picture. Someone is missing. Something doesn't feel right. It's because there's no Robin. It's because if J.J. Watt was a member of the Justice League, he's Batman. Where the hell is Superman, or vice versa? Where is the backup for J.J. Watt? Oh, I'm sorry, he's got an illness. Jadeveon Clowney better have a really, really good illness. Because if not, maybe the ambulance you hear is taking care of Jadeveon Clowney's illness. Maybe the illness that Jadeveon Clowney is outbreaking where I'm at. Let me look around. Okay, no, I think I'm good. Maybe, just maybe, what's wrong with Jadeveon Clowney is what's wrong with Derrick Rose. Young men from poor economic backgrounds have now financial security for their entire family. And so when you once looked at something and then you get elevated, your view on things change. I heard Oscar De La Hoya say this. It's very difficult to, as a boxer, to fight your way up through the ranks and then be champion of the world. And you start waking up in silk sheets in the mansion. It's not the same. The hunger, the drive, and the fight you had when you were 0-0, sleeping in your mom's basement, living in your mom's house, getting financial assistance from your family members, the hunger, the drive, it's not the same. You still want it, but you don't want it the same way, because it's very, very difficult to get out of bed before anyone else gets out of bed when you're sleeping in silk sheets. Because I believe that's the problem with Jadeveon Clowney. I believe that's the problem with Derrick Rose. They've reached a level of comfort, which is, should be scary if you're a Texans fan when it comes to Jadeveon Clowney, because he hasn't even scratched the surface of things he could have, and he's already sick. Someone needs to tell Jadeveon Clowney this isn't high school. Your doctor's note doesn't fly in an NFL locker room. They pay you to produce. So you need to hop on the line and start producing.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Hey, y'all, it's that time of the year again. I don't mean basketball. I don't mean any type of sporting season. I mean it is voting season. Yes, Super Tuesday is tomorrow. Tuesday is why I call it Super Tuesday. Here's something I want you to know. The political system, much like the first two people we spoke about, they're soft to the point where our political system is now broken. Now, according to the forecast, the Republicans are going to take over the House and the Senate. The problem with that is nothing is going to get done. The country is going to continue to go in a downward spiral. People hate politics. People can't stand politicians. But we keep voting for the same shitty cycle of politicians over and over and over. As an American, I became educated in this process in 2008, thanks to Barack Obama. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I only got involved in the political process because a black man got involved. But guess what? We only do everything because it has a certain interest to us. We rarely do things out of our own imagination and or goodwill. Now, when I became involved in this process, I noticed something. It was full of shit. Okay? Politicians are full of shit. And they're allowed to be full of shit because people who vote them in, you and I, don't hold them to their words. We live in a country now where it is unhealthy to drink the faucet, the water from your faucet. When I was a child, I could run up to the faucet and drink the water. Now, I won't do that if you paid me to do it. As a kid, it was safe for me to play out in the streets. And I lived on the south side of Chicago, where gang banging was essential. It was the thing to do. But we were still able to still play outside. When I was a kid, there were a lot of things that I did not understand, but I just knew that they functioned because I thought things were supposed to be this way. As an old man, but as a 30-year-old man, 30 plus, Anyway, I now know the reason why things function and what makes them go. And what makes this country go is the political process. And the reason why this country is turning into a pile of shit is because the political process is as broken as it can possibly be. The system has too many checks and balances. But those checks and balances are so things don't get out of control. So someone like Bush doesn't wipe his ass with the Constitution. Oh, wait, too late. That already happened. So we don't fight unnecessary wars. Oh, wait, damn, that already happened. The Constitution is supposed to prevent things like, I don't know, wiretapping. Oh, shit, wait, that's happening right now. We are losing very, very small marginal aspects of our freedom in our society because now fat, lazy, uneducated, and careless Americans only complain when the gas is $5. Gas is $3. Fat, lazy, uneducated Americans only complain when the food stamps don't show up, when the police don't come to your house when you have an issue. Not that they didn't come fast enough, it's not that they didn't come at all. Vote. 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 I don't care if you live in Florida. I don't care if you live in Texas and a Republican's going to win anyway. I don't care if you live in California and a Democrat is going to win anyway and you're Republican. Vote because it is your right as an American. Vote because it's your say in what happens in your country. You can't bitch about something if you don't attempt to fix the process. I will ask you a question, and this is where I will leave this process. I want you to vote tomorrow. Because if you don't know who the ward of your area is, if you don't know who the mayor of your city is, if you don't know who your city council members are, if you don't know who the governor of your state is, if you don't know your Senate and House representatives, then you have failed as an American. Because it is those people who are writing laws that you have to live by. And if you don't say shit about them, they'll keep destroying things that we don't even realize are a problem until it's too late. Like the drinking water in my faucet. I'm John Browner. You've been listening to the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. Go vote. And like I always say, never, ever give up. Peace.